Holy, holy are you,
Lord. Elders and angels bow. The redeemed. We worship you now. Holy, holy. Heaven, elders and angels bow. The redeemed. We worship you now. Glory to God. Holy, holy, holy are you, Father. We worship and honor you. We thank you for honoring our gathering with your tangible presence once again. We take it not for granted, for we know it is not everywhere your tangible presence is present. As we go into the Word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Then I ask the same unction and anointing be put upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the Word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word indeed, Father, with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said. Amen. This afternoon we're going to continue our series on the spiritual dynasty of David, overcoming rebellion. And today we're going to zero in on Solomon, and hopefully we will finish Solomon today. Solomon will actually end this series because Solomon actually is a type of Christ, as we're going to see if we get there. And he represents the church, the end time church, that builds the temple that the glory of God inhabits. So in a sense, Solomon's reign is a consummation of God's purposes for the church. Sadly, in the history of Israel, that temple was destroyed because of rebellion and disobedience. And many, many years later, God, through Daniel's intercession, and then he raised up Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Mordecai, and they were able to come back and build the temple. It was not as big as Solomon's temple. And even that temple too, you know, God desecrated. And then, you know, until Jesus came, then we had the temple of Herod. So Solomon represents the epoch. He represents the peak, the zenith of God's purposes for Israel in that time, because he built that magnificent temple and the glory of God inhabited it, which will be a type today of the church, the perfect church that is going to be built, that is being built rather as I speak, and will be inhabited by the glory of God. So there are wonderful lessons to learn from the life and the reign of Solomon. It actually typifies who we are today. And let me begin by quickly summarizing what we did in our last our teaching on this, we saw the rebellion of Adonijah. He was forgiven by Solomon. He declared himself to be king without his father's permission. Bathsheba goes in to meet Solomon at the signaling of Nathan, the prophet. Nathan comes in and reinforces what Bathsheba says. For once, David takes a decisive action as it concerns his children. He anoints Solomon as king. The rebellion scatters. The people who followed Adonijah in his rebellion included Joab, very sadly. We're going to read more about Joab today. And Abiathar. You know, and Adonijah is afraid for his life. He goes to hold on to the horns of the altar. And Solomon asks him to come. Says, go to your house, no problem. David now dies. On his deathbed, David gives very specific instructions to Solomon. There are many things he said, but I will just summarize them. But probably the most important thing David said to Solomon was he gave him the plans of the temple. David actually received the architectural plans for the temple by revelation from the Holy Spirit. I am told, I'm going to actually investigate this if I have more time in the years to come. Right now we're busy with intercession and, you know, going to disciple the nations. But once we get that going, you know, and that is in process and it's taking place, I'm going to probably take the time. I understand, I've not been there, intend to go there soon, that in Jerusalem, as I speak tonight, today, there is the copy of the plans of the temple. And Isaac Newton in particular, who was a British scientist, but who also was a man of faith and revelation, did a lot of calculations on that, on the dimensions of the temple. It's in a museum in a university in Jerusalem, I am told. You know, it's something I intend to look into later on and investigate. But, you know, no surprise. It came by the Holy Ghost. And he gave it to Solomon. And by the mercy and the grace of God, God helped Solomon to be faithful at least in that. He did build the temple. And David, you know, left a lot of money and resources in terms of gold and silver and brass and wood. He left a lot of resources for the building of the temple. Solomon added to it. The princes of Israel too added to it. In the same breath, this is spiritually significant. In the same breath, he now gives him instructions about execution. So we know it's the same Holy Ghost. You know, can God be doing, you know, how can God, you know, tell him to kill somebody? You don't know God yet. You know, most Christians have a very childish something about God. Of course, God is not a killer. God is not a murderer. No. But God is the God of justice. And the Bible says, in righteousness doth he, you know, wage war. In righteousness, just like any responsible government. People are, you know, soldiers are killing other soldiers in Ukraine and Russia today. Not because they are murderers, but their country was invaded. They're killing the people who came. So it is with God. So God does execute. So to cut a long story short, God gives Solomon, we looked at this last time, I'm just going to summarize, instructions to execute Joab, to execute Shimei. He says, it's very interesting, Pastor G. There is no instruction given about Adonijah. David is always sentimental about his children. We read it last time. You know, David, he spoiled his children rotten. That's what the Message Bible said. Can you believe in all their lives, he never rebuked them, he never beats them? You know, none of us is you know, we should learn from that. The Bible says these things were written for our learning. Everybody say, for our learning. I didn't hear you. You need to rebuke your children when they do wrong. When they are smaller, you need to be able to chasten them physically. And even when they are older, there's still different ways of chastening. There's a strong rebuke. You can withdraw some of your resources from them, you know, so that they will know you are serious about what you're talking about. You know? And anyway, so we went through this last time. Adonijah, David is dead. So Adonijah now goes to Bathsheba, you know, trying to play the sentimental woman card, you know, and says, look, can I have this Abishag? Abishag was the concubine that they got for David to look after him when he was old. But David never slept with her. So she was a virgin. So Adonijah, you know, wanted the girl. So he goes to Bathsheba. He doesn't go to Solomon directly, you know, and says Solomon should ask from, Adonijah, that she should ask Solomon that after all he should have been king, but he's not king because Solomon is now, his brother is king, but at least he should be able to have this little girl. That was the biggest mistake of his life. Solomon treats his mother with utmost respect. He prostrates before her. He sets a seat before her, beside him. And he said, you know, and his mommy says, look, I want to ask you something. Don't say no. He said, of course, mommy, you know, I won't say no. You know, tell me what you want. You know, and says, okay, give Abishag to Adonijah. Solomon gets livid. He wasn't rude to his mother, but he was firm. He said, is it only Abishag you want to ask? He might as well ask the throne. Ask him, tell him to come and take the throne. And then, you know, and Joab, and he said, so that day, and this is where we ended last time, and we'll take it off from there today. That day, Solomon did some very decisive things. Number one, he had Adonijah executed. Number two, he had Joab arrested and executed. Why? And we're going to see the New Testament equivalent. All the, let me just say this up front, you know, and you will have to, and I know I'm not talking only to scripture pastor people. I'm speaking to the whole world and to the whole church because this thing is on YouTube. All the Joabs, all the Abiathars, all the Shimeis, and all the Adonijahs are going to be executed in the days to come. Otherwise, the kingdom will not be established. The problem we have with the church today is that we have a lot of rebellious people inside the church. And they've been with us for years. Joab was with David for years. Abiathar was with David for years. Shimei and his like and his ilk, people like him, were been in Israel for years. But when God now, to build that temple, Kasele Prekado Fresh, to fulfill the purpose of God, all those guys had to be removed. And the same thing is going to happen today. And I'll tell you what the spiritual equivalents are in a minute. So, Solomon calls Shimei. He doesn't kill him immediately. He does it in righteousness. Joab, we looked at that last time. Joab was rebellious from the beginning. Job and all, and he never, Pastor Wiggle, watch this. He never dealt with it. And, you know, I used Professor Lockbody last week as last time I preached as an example. You know, you can have those things. You can deal with it. You can use the word of God to deal with it. You should use the word of God to deal with it. But if you don't deal with it, then God will deal with you. I don't know how many of you take God seriously. But you know, most of us don't take God seriously because we think God is like us. But God is not like us. God wants us to become like Him. God does not talk carelessly. When God says something, He watches over it to perform it. It was Papa Ralph who said this many years ago. He said, God is as faithful to His promises as He is to His threats. You can call them a threat. If God promises justice and judgment, He's faithful to watch over that word as He's faithful to watch over the word for blessing. Whether you say amen or you don't say amen, it's so. Are you listening to me? You say God watches over his word to perform. He doesn't only watch over his word of blessing to perform it. He also watches over his word of judgment to perform it. And when you know that, you behave yourself. Something I learned many, many years ago, and I'm still learning it, and I'm keeping it in my heart. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know, when you know, that's why it was God, that revelation, that confession we make, I didn't read in a book. I got it by revelation, in line with the word of God. The fear of God is to know the certainty of his judgment. If you disobey, it's all conditional. You know, and the security of his mercy when you obey. You know what that thing does? It makes you stay away from evil. That judgment is certain. I say, oh, that's Old Testament. You don't know your Bible. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us, is that every transgression obtained a just recompense of reward. He said, how much more we in the New Testament? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What are you talking about? God is stricter in the New Testament than he was in the Old. You have more grace and you have more liberty in the New Testament. But then again, you have a higher standard. In the Old Testament, adultery was the physical thing. In the New Testament, adultery is looking to desire, to lust. And is judged with the same severity as the doing. People don't realize that. Well, he hasn't done it, so, you know, God, who told you? Is in God's judgment book, not your own. That's why you need to deal with it. Now, he won't judge. That's the good thing about God. He won't judge it today. He won't judge it tomorrow. He will give you time. He says, I gave her space. I gave her space. That's the goodness of God. That's the glow. That's the kindness of God to repent. Then the Bible says, and she repented not. Revelation chapter 2, verses 23, you know, somewhere in there. He says, therefore, I will kill her with death. I will cast her and then that commit fornication with her into a bed. Then he says, except they repent. See, God is good. Give space. Watch this. He gives you space to repent. Then after he rebukes, he gives you space again to repent. But don't think he's a toothless bulldog that is in heaven and he's sleeping. He sees everything. So, these three people are executed. Shimei, we saw it last time, he's called him, gives him an instruction, don't go out of Jerusalem. He does after 3 years, and he's executed. Now, after my last message, I myself am learning. Because revelation is progressive and continuous. And you know, I didn't know that, what I'm about to say, I didn't know it before I preached the last message. But between then and now, I got it in a more, the best word is the word concise, encapsulated. Joab, Adonijah represents rebellious pastors who want to be leaders. Not everybody can be senior pastor. I don't know whether we realize that or not. Somebody was sharing with me, there's a scripture somewhere in Jeremiah, I don't know the exact reference. If you find it, give it to me. It says, be careful, don't desire great things. Something like that. It's in Jeremiah somewhere. Not everybody can be. Rebellious pastors who want to be senior pastor represent Adonijahs. Abiathars are rebellious priests who also represent pastors who want to do the word of God their own way. The best way to explain Abiathar, you know, is to explain what happened with the two sons of Aaron. What's their name again? Nadab and what's the name of the other? Who? Abihu. You know, I don't remember names of bad boys. Seriously. You know, Nadab and Abihu, you know, they offer strange fire. Abiathar is a priesthood who wants to pray their own way. They offer strange fire. They want to mix. Do you know that the anointing oil is mixed in a particular way? There is a particular amount of different of the different elements you must put in. You can, and God warned them. He warned them. He said, don't try and duplicate this thing or, you know, mix it and experiment with it. You know, so is prayer. Olubi Johnson and Kenneth Hagin did not invent the Pauline prayer. I didn't invent it. I didn't invent Ephesians 1. I didn't invent Ephesians 3. I did not invent Philippians 1. I didn't invent Colossians 1. I didn't invent 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I was talking about that in the Bible study today. You know, what we call rebellion in our own mind is very different from what God calls rebellion. Rebellion is deliberate disobedience to specific instruction. That's what it is. I didn't say this in the new Bible story, but let me say it now because it's contextual and it is relevant. You know, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, again, it's here a little, there a little. You can't get it in any one scripture. There is no chapter and verse for it, peace, but it's there. That you should endeavor to pray in the Spirit at least 1 hour every day. And then build it up to 2.5 hours, which is your tithe. Do you know, there is no scripture of what I've just said. But it's there. It's scattered. Here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. Yeah. I didn't invent it. Jesus was the one who said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And it was Paul who said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. It's from all those scriptures we now get the fact that we have to pray a lot in tongues. Disobedience to that is rebellion. The people who disobey, they become like Abiathar and Joab. Joab was a warrior. In today, we don't fight physical, you know, physical fight. We fight in the spirit. You can't be a warrior and then want to do it your own way. You obey the command of the king, the Lord Jesus, via his leadership. You can't all wake up and start doing your own thing. I remember when I first got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, I all followed Kenneth Hagin, Joroja Arajo, to use a Nigerian expression. I heard him say, this end time, you want to pray in 1 hour in tongues. Fortunately, providentially, I hadn't heard any negative thing. And I was a new Christian, so my mind was talarabusa. What do they call it? Tabularasa. You know, it was clean. So it was easy for me. It was later on, after I'd been doing it for many months, and I had grown, and I had got revelation, that I now came back to Nigeria. And then I saw that there was debate about it, and I was wondering, what's wrong with these people? Then I'll go to their prayer meetings, and they just pray 5 minutes, 2 minutes. I said, what? Where did these people learn their own from? That was when God told me they were shooting short loads. Nobody invented these things, folks. They're the word of God. To not to do them is to be rebellious. And all the Joabs, they are going. All the Adonijahs, they are going. All the Shimeis. Joab represents rebellious intercessors. Adonijahs represent and Abiathar, priests. You know, they represent rebellious pastors or who want to become senior pastors. Shimei represents rebellious saints. He covers the entire church. I'm going to repeat it. Joab represents rebellious intercessors. Do you know some intercessors think they know more than the pastor? Oh, yes. And they pray the way they like. The Bible gives us structured prayer. I didn't write the Bible. Like Kenneth Copeland would say many times, I wish I did, but I didn't, because I wasn't born by that time. But thank God for the revelation we have now. Amen. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, when ye pray, it's recorded two ways. In Matthew, you know, it's recorded in Matthew, it's recorded in Luke, what we call the Lord's Prayer. In one instance, he says, when you pray, say, and that's where we get our Father which art in heaven. Then in the other place, he says, pray after this manner. Talking about, you know, principles. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that's loaded. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, prosperity, material needs. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those walking in love and forgiveness. You know, lead us not into temptation. Praying to, you know, avoid temptation and trial and danger. That's why you should not be presumptuous, you know, but deliver us from evil. It's all blocks. It's structured prayer. You can't go outside that structure. Olubi Johnson did not invent the structure. Kenneth Hagin did not invent the structure. E.W. Kenyon did not invent the structure. It was there from the Lord Jesus Christ. To go outside is rebellion. You know, most Christians don't pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Most Christians pray, my will be done. And my kingdom come. True. Many churches pray, our kingdom come, our will be done. Not thy kingdom come. A joke, well, it wasn't a joke, it actually happened. Recently, you know, we've been having all these elections. We're in election season. So some Christian whom I know, you know, sent me a flyer, you know, and solicited my prayers. They wanted to run for some office, you know, political office. Pastor, please pray for me. So I now sent back to them. I said, I will pray. I said, but this is how I pray. You know, because, you know, I'm not God. So I pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And I prayed in the spirit. I said, so I'll pray. They didn't say amen to that prayer. And they never got back to me. Because they wanted me to pray a personal prayer for them to be elected. And I can't do that. Because I don't know the will of God as far as they are concerned and that particular situation. People don't pray. They don't like those kind of prayers. They don't like thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then in the spirit. And then with groanings. But you go outside that, you go into rebellion. Someone said, Pastor Olubi, you know, I'm talking about the perfect church. Without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That is why the Joab spots, the Abiathar spots, the Adonijah spots, the Shimei spots will all be removed. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. So, let's move on. So, Solomon gets these three sections. That's why I've delineated them. You know, Joab is just a type. It's a type of a rebellious intercessor. He's a good intercessor. He prays, but he likes to do his own thing. He rebelled against David, rebuked David. You know, the Bible says rebuked on an elder. God gets rid of him. You know, Abiathar represents a rebellious priesthood, and he's replaced by Zadok, you know, who represents a righteous priesthood. Joab is replaced by Benaiah, you know. And she may, of course, is executed. She may just represent rebellious Christians, you know, people who have rebellion in their heart against the leadership. And he's always, you know, she may never changed. He only came to beg David so he won't be killed. And David gave him his word, saying, I will not be the one, the original godfather. Give the original godfather a super clap offering again. The original godfather. He told him that I won't be the one. He said, I won't kill you. But on his deathbed, watch this. God doesn't forget who. The same time God was giving the plan of the temple was when he now told him about Shimei. Same Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Says Shimei. He said, you know that Shimei, you know what he did when your brother Absalom. He said, you are a wise man. You know what to do. And you know what kills Shimei? Lack of submission. You know what has become your habit? You will still, you know, the Yoruba people have a saying, say, Efiniwa Koshebo. That means character is like smoke. You can't hide it, it will seep out. You know, it's in the Bible. The way it says in the book of Proverbs, it says that, you know, a troublesome woman, he says, like the wind, he says, it will come out. It's like smoke. He says, it's a Yoruba proverb. You know, God taught our forefathers before the white man came. Because the same Holy Ghost who teaches our forefathers, amen. For the Gentiles which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. So even though our people didn't have the book of Proverbs, that they observed it and they saw what was happening and they said that they coined that proverb. Efiniwa Koshebo. That is, character is like smoke, you can't hide it. And then we now see it in the book of Proverbs. Same Holy Ghost, just through different channels. Are you listening to me? Now, hear me. So what God does, this guy, Solomon tells him, he said, look, don't leave your household. Don't leave Jerusalem. He said, the day you leave Jerusalem, watch this, it's without permission. You know, it's so simple. If you are used to submitting to authority, the minute that he didn't see those boys, he would have gone to Solomon. He would have sent somebody that my sheep or whatever have gone out of, and I have not seen these people. I want to go and check, or please, I want to send somebody. You know, he would have sent somebody to go and look for the people, and he would have stayed alive. But he has been so, many of our people are like that. They're like Shimei. We have been so used to disobeying instruction. So we do it without even thinking about it. So Shimei disobeys an instruction that his life was hanging on. He didn't even think about it. The sheep and the servants were more important than his life. You see, it was his habit. His heart has not changed. Because if his heart had changed, he would have been so careful. He would have gone to Solomon. He would have sent a message to the palace that, you know, and I don't have anybody to send. Please, can I get somebody? And they would have sent somebody, or they would have done something. Or even he had gone with permission, he would not have been killed. I don't know if you're getting me. Do not get used to rebellion. That's the purpose of this series. So, good news, Solomon now he's become king, but the kingdom is now established. So long as those guys were alive, the kingdom was not established. So it is in the church today. So long as we have rebels among pastors, rebels in the priesthood, rebels in the intercessors, rebels in the laity, in the saints, the kingdom will not be established. So God is going to get rid of the rebels. You can't say amen, say oh me. And I want to assure you, dearly beloved, that this is a divine operation. It will have no human hand. You know why? I don't know men's hearts. Only God does. It's God who will do it. Judgment will be selective and divine. It will be God who will be doing it. The only heart I really can say I know to some degree is my own. Even my own, I can't know it as well as I should. And that's why I submit to God. I thank God for what God has given me, you know. So I, you know, and as I speak, as I'm speaking now, this is why this message is so important prophetically. That scripture that we all like to quote in Chronicles about Jehoshaphat, the eyes of the Lord, as I'm talking now, the eyes of the Lord are running through and through the whole church. Let's locate it to the church now. It's true for the whole world, throughout the whole earth. But let's focus now on the church. To show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. And the ones that they still have the Joab kind of hearts, the Adonijah kind of hearts, the Abiathar type of hearts, the Shimei type of hearts, he sees them and is going to remove them. But he won't do that first, let me tell you. God is good. He's going to first nudge them and say, that's why you are hearing this message. Hello? Do something about that heart with the word of God. So if you do, no problem. But if you don't, because you will not hinder what God is going to do. Amen. Oh, Jesus help me. The kingdom is established in Solomon's hands. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're in chapter 2 and then we're going to go into chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 2. The death of David. Then Solomon's reign is established. Even in the Bible, the headline of those scriptures is Solomon's reign is established. Can you believe that? You know, because without the removal of those guys, this kingdom will not be established. And so it is today. You know, without God removing these people. So we read in verse 44, 1 Kings chapter 2, which is just a summary. It says, and the king, that's Solomon, said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest, I didn't hear you, all the wickedness with thine heart. Ever say, scream thy heart. Thy heart. You know, real wickedness is in the heart. It comes out, you know, in actions later on. But, you know, how can somebody curse his king? Take stone him. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperate. Is privy to, I didn't hear you. Thy heart is, that is something he kept inside. You know, you knew you kept it in your heart. Private, but it's there. See, man may not see it, but God sees it. And Pastor G, isn't it interesting that God will remind Solomon on his deathbed? Even the thing was still there, and God wanted it dealt with. Otherwise, Shimei is one of the least people they will be thinking about on his deathbed. Shimei is not important, it's not significant. Yet God put him into remembrance. You can't say amen, say oh me. Thou knowest all the wickedness which thy heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore, the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed. I didn't hear you. And the throne of David be established before the Lord forever. Solomon was speaking naturally, but he was actually speaking by the Spirit about the spiritual dynasty of David, which the Lord Jesus Christ was going to establish. That was going to be established by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the king, I didn't hear you, commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him. That's a nice way of saying he executed him. And that he died. Watch this. Everybody scream these scriptures. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Those executions had to take place. or the kingdom would not have been there. There would have always been something in their hearts that they could have used to start a rebellion. So in order to completely eliminate it, God had to eliminate Joab. He had to remove Abiathar. We looked at that from the time of Samuel. The Eli, the house of Eli, is that same genealogy that Abiathar comes from. And God had promised them that he was going to deal with it. And look at him, how many hundreds of years later. Give a Lord a clap offering, somebody. The God who watches over his word to perform it. In fact, that's a scripture we need to quickly look at. Verse 30. I can't read everything, but it's so important. Verse 30. Let me see. Yeah. 36. Good. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Where is Eli? 26 and 27, excuse me. Yes. Verse 27. So Solomon, I didn't hear you, thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli. Can you believe that? Another clap offering for the Lord. This God we're dealing with is a very, very precise person. Now, let's now begin to look at Solomon in more detail. Solomon now becomes king, and he starts very well. He starts very, very well. So let's look at these good things that Solomon did. We're just going to hit the highlights because of time. First Kings chapter 3, we're now in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. I'm not going to go into it, read it, you know, I'm just going to highlight it. Can I do that? The Holy Ghost just stopped me, said, you can't do that. So, we'll see, maybe we're going to take it again from next week. Praise the Lord. The first thing that Solomon asks for is wisdom. He has a dream. And let's read verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to stop because I can't, I'll take it next week and then really flesh it out. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only, this is a negative. He sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. He shouldn't have. You can't understand that unless you understand verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the well of Jerusalem. Once you have evil communication corrupts good manners. You should never have married any of those foreign girls. He did a lot, but this was the first one. But this was still in the beginning. So he was sacrificing to the Lord, but he was doing it in high places. God winked. Said, you know, maybe I will get across to him. And the king went to Gibeon, verse 4, I didn't hear you, to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Now, I'm going to stop there. So in that Gibeon, God appears to him and says, what do you want? Solomon asked for wisdom. God is so pleased. He is so impressed. He blesses Solomon beyond his greatest expectation. Verse 10. And the speech, I didn't hear you, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, I didn't hear you, because thou hast asked this thing, and I have not asked, thank you, Jesus, for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, this is one of the greatest things that happened in the Old Testament. And that's why I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you this afternoon. And I'm going to stop here. Because you can't even begin to appreciate what God did for this boy. And he was so young. He was in his 20s when he became king. Behold. Everybody, verse 12. I say, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall after thee shall arise any like unto thee. Verse 13. I have also given thee, I didn't hear you, that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I will say all thy days. All thy days. All thy days. All thy days. Hello, everybody say all thy days. Give me a wave offering, somebody. Just make sure you're still awake. I say all thy days. This blessing was limited to the time of Solomon. It was not forever. You know, people say Solomon is the richest man that ever was. No. It was the richest man in his days. And I'm going to tell you the reason why in a minute before I close. And then we're going to take it next week, you know, next time. You know, and this is it. God did something supernatural for Solomon. He expanded his mind. Solomon was wise before because he knew the Bible and used to pray, but not what he had now had. And the Bible summarizes this in 1 Kings chapter 4. Everybody go to 1 Kings chapter 4. Excuse me. 1 Kings chapter 4. And look at verse 29. Great, great truth. Verse 29. And God gave Solomon. Oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. You know, I find this, I greatly respect the Bible. I find this very revealing. He expanded the mental capacity and sagacity of Solomon. Then he likened it, the quantity, to the sand that is at the seashore. Do you know that silicon that we use to make computers today is from sand? Only God could have known that. He gave him a mental capacity that is not terabytes. Is not the, you can't, there is no computer that had the capacity that has capacity of the kind of mind that God gives Solomon. We are told by, and this, you know, what I want to talk about just briefly before I close. You know, we are told by doctors, you know, those of them who do a little bit of neuroscience. Neuroscience is the science of the brain, the neurons. It's been estimated and scientifically agreed that the average man has 100 billion neurons. A neuron, let's just keep it simple, is a part of your brain that deals with memory and, you know, causes you know, you to remember and causes you to be able to, you know, function mentally properly. One of my classmates, I just, you know, I traveled and then I just came back. One of my CMS old boys, we were classmates. He's an expert in neuroscience. He has a practice in upstate New York, in Syracuse. And he and I got to discussing. He said, Olubi,
He said, we're just discovering some things now. He went to Harvard. He did his first degree in UNILAG. Then he crossed to America. He was in Harvard, you know, and then he's been practicing in upstate New York. So he was telling me, he said, we there are so many things we don't understand. He said, we're just beginning to understand them now. He said that, watch this. He said that when your mood is negative, you know, maybe you're feeling weak or tired or discouraged, he said, it slows down the speed of the electrons in your neurons that cause them to fire. He said, but when your attitude is positive, the velocity increases. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Can you believe that? We have 100 billion neurons that now have connections. You know, dendrites and all this, you know, dendrites and all of this. That one is quadrillion. You don't understand. 1 billion is 10 to the power 9. That 10 times 10 times 9, 9 places. 100 billion is 10 to the power 11. Now, when you take all the when they now begin to fire, and they now begin to interact with each other, the connections between those neurons scales up to a quadrillion. A quadrillion is 10 to the power 15, 10 to the power 18. Those are figures your human mind cannot begin to fathom. That is the potential. Yet, we see man, these scientists are telling me, operating at, majority of us operate at less than 10% of that. When you have a brilliant person like Albert Einstein and all of that, they'll say, oh, maybe it's 12%. What God did for Solomon was he gave him a little dose of the ability of the mind of Christ. He didn't give him the full dose, though. He just gave him a little. So that Solomon's mental capacity and his mental sagacity was greatly increased overnight. Solomon was not like that before. He appeared to him in the night. He said, the one you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you. I'll give you riches and all of that. Then after that, Solomon just began to display wisdom that they had never seen before. The Bible says that the Queen of Sheba and all the kings of the earth, they all came to come and get the wisdom of Solomon. He said, and the Queen of Sheba had heard. So she came with hard questions, so to speak. You know, the Bible says that when she came, he said there was nothing that she asked Solomon, that Solomon didn't tell her. He said there was no more spirit left in her. She fainted. Said, I have heard in my country. He said, and I did not believe until I came. He said, but now that I'm here and I've heard you with my own ears and I've seen you with my own eyes, he said, the half has not yet been told. Now, God news that's about to blow your mind. You know what the Bible says? A greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're going to pick it up from here in our next lesson. A greater, and we're going to, not only in this area, but in all our areas. You see, Solomon represents the best of the Davidic line because he builds the temple. He does what David couldn't do, or what David didn't do. He could have, but he didn't, you know, and builds the temple and the glory inhabits it. The end time Solomon church is going to build. He's going to build. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the glory of God will fill this temple the way the same glory filled the temple of Solomon. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to see end time Solomons. I don't like to use the word Solomon because it's below us. Is greater. You know why? Because there are a lot of nonsense Solomon. We're not going to do that. We'll see that next week.
Solomon misbehaved seriously. And we'll see that next week. But just for today, watch the steps, Pastor William. The first thing is he comes to the throne. Spiritual growth. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He becomes a spiritual king. I'm talking about us today now. Using Solomon as the type. You grow spiritually. So that you become, you're no longer a servant. You become a prince through intercession. Princes wrestle with God and prevail. Then, but you don't stop there. You now grow from a prince to a king. I explained that some other messages, you know, where the word of the king is power. You control your thoughts. The will is totally submitted to the will of God. When you get there, you've entered, you sit on the throne now. But you have just started. The next thing is to become established. So every Joab around you, every Shimei, every Abiathar, every rebellion will be gotten rid of. It will not be any human being who will do it to. That's why we pray in tongues. It will be the Holy Ghost through the intercession of the saints that's going to do this work. It is already happening as I'm speaking. After the throne is now established, then the wisdom that is greater than the wisdom of Solomon will now be imparted into their mind. It is already there in the human brain. We've observed in autistic savants. Somebody showed me a picture on YouTube a few days ago. I can't remember who he was. You know, I don't remember whether I was in America or I was here. You know, and there was this guy. It's a true story. You know, it was on the YouTube. He was drawing three pictures. Was it Pastor? I don't know who was showing. With one hand. At the same time, simultaneously. With one hand. You know, yeah, they didn't say, as he was drawing, you know, and there were three different pictures. This human brain is capable. No computer, even remotely, compares with your brain. And look at how fast computers do calculations. You know, look at how fast. We have what we call supercomputers. These supercomputers, you know, when I was doing my research for my PhD, there was no computer here. I can't use laptop. There's certain simulations. So we had to, we found a guy in San Francisco. He was Jewish, nice guy. I'm still subscribed to them. You know, I was paying them. I must have spent about $20,000 on computer time. You know? So we will send the data from here. We will send it to them in San Francisco. They will process the data. It's a firm called Exabyte. You know, for the particular simulation that we want. Then when they will run it on supercomputers. They themselves don't have supercomputers. They use what is called clusters. In a cluster, you will have access to 20 computers in San Francisco. Another 50 in Japan. There's all that. They'll all be doing all the calculations in parallels. Then when they finish, then they'll now take the result back, put it in what we call a batch file, and send it back to us. That was how we were able to get some of the results we got. There's no way I could have done it here. Impossible. Because cutting edge research, you know? So anyway, the important thing is, now imagine a human brain able to do that. Look at a problem like this and say, that's the answer. Thank you, Pastor G, in real time. What is going to take a computer 5 hours to do? You will look at it. A greater than Solomon is here. This is not science fiction. It's reality. But he has to have three things. One, a king. Two, established. Because you don't put that kind of power in the hand of servants. You don't put that kind of power in even the hands of princes.
He has to be a king. The will totally submit the will of God. The as the rivers of water turn, so you know the hand of the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I talking to anybody here? Now, to blow your mind completely is imminent. I believe this year, with the coming Feast of Tabernacles, I didn't say God told me, I said I believe. But I can see all the signs. You know, even me, myself, by the grace of God, you know, things I look at, I begin to wonder, where am I getting these thoughts from? Where am I getting all these thoughts from? It's God. Solomon was the greatest man in his time. The scriptures, we'll look at next week. You know, people came from all over. They said he was wiser than all men. You know, our scientists and all, they are making noise. They haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you. All you saints, stop playing church. And get serious. A greater than Solomon is here. Because we are going to exceed Solomon in every manner. That's what Jesus had at the back of his mind. When he said, you know, when he was talking to them, he said, the men of the queen of Sheba will get up in our generation and we condemn this generation because she came from the utmost parts of the earth. They will come from the utmost parts of the earth. Did the scripture not say in the book of Isaiah that the house of the Lord shall be exalted above all hills and all nations? They are going to see what they have never seen before. We've seen it. Just a little bit of, you know, autistic savants. We see guys who can draw things. You see guys, if you ask him something, he can give you the date in 2047. You tell you whether it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Instant. Some people will just listen to Beethoven or, you know, Bach or any something, and he will play it back flawlessly. And he has never played a piano before. They will learn languages, you know, like Russian or Icelandic, and learn it in 3 days and begin to speak it fluently. What are they doing? They are using this thing. The way God originally created it, the way it was in Adam. Pastor Bigger, I just blasphemed. Greater than it was in Adam. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was what Paul had at the back of his mind when he said, but we have the mind of Christ. I think I have to stop there, or else I'm going to fly. You won't see me anymore. I'll just go into another dimension. I'll disappear. And then you won't be able to hear this nice preaching. So let me stay. Amen. Seriously, great things are coming. Don't throw your inheritance for a piece of pottage. This is our inheritance in Christ. This is what God has been waiting for. And we're not going to make the mistakes of Solomon. That's why it is written for our learning. We'll look at that next week. We're not going to do the things Solomon did. We're going to have a greater than Solomon wisdom. Watch this. I got a clue, Pastor G. Otherwise, I'm going to keep these guys. I'm going to eat lunch today. You know? Greater than Solomon in wisdom, but also greater than Solomon in righteousness. Also greater than Solomon in self-control. We're not just going to be greater than Solomon in wisdom. We're going to be greater than Solomon in character. In every area Solomon failed, we are going to pass. No, we are going to excel. Hallelujah! Talk to God. I gotta stop. Don't miss next week. Glory be to God.
Someone said, how did Solomon get this? He just asked. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Talk to God, somebody. Put one hand on your heart. Talk to God. Talk to God. If I continue, we won't leave here. Ah! Glory to God. To fulfill his purpose, God raises up the Lord Jesus Christ. And through Christ, he now raises up a spiritual dynasty of David that will ultimately excel Solomon in everything. In everything. We'll be the richest people on the earth because nobody can match our mental capacity. We haven't seen anything yet. That's why I'm not bothered. I don't... Nothing men do fascinates me because I know that, what we have in Christ far exceeds it. No wonder the apostle said, he said, I count all things but dung. Look at those words, Pastor G, for the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Paul didn't just, in his time, they couldn't do it in their time. So they got the revelation and wrote it for us and went to heaven. Now is our time. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. What shall we say to these things? I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, sing it with me.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Please forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
Yes, it's a lie.
That you were on. But now,
Oh Lord,
I see my wrong. Oh, heal my heart.
My heart and show yourself strong.
Oh, glory to God. My eyes. Start again.
I have made you so small in my eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive me. And I have believed in the light.
Yes, it's the light
that you were on.
Magnify.
My eyes are on you.
Put one hand on your eyes. They represent your mind. And the other hand to God. No wonder why the psalmist used to pray, "Oh God, open my eyes." The human, keep that hand up. We're praying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hear what I'm about to say. Man was made in the image and the likeness of God. Everybody agrees on that. Man fell. That's why we're in the mess we're in now. We're operating at less than 10% of our normal capacity. The biology, the physiotherapy, the physiology and the biology and the biochemistry of our human brains tell us it can be done. But in practice, we don't see it in operation. The reason is sin. The psychologists don't understand it. The neuroscientists don't understand it. All they can see the potential, and they can see the performance as of today. And what I will tell you, my friend was telling me, they now notice that when you have positive, what they will call positive attitudes, the velocity of the electrons in your brain increases and you're able to do things better. When you have negative feelings, it affects it. What are they saying? What they're saying is that if you have God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and those things are dominant, the velocity of your electrons will begin to approach light. Then the speed at which you process information will increase astronomically. Why is it that you can put so much into a computer and it will give the results in seconds? Seconds. You can put so much into a computer, you know, and it can a computer can draw using pixels. It can draw any diagram you give it. It just breaks the thing down into small, small bits of information, reprocesses them together. It can draw, it can speak any language. The computer can speak Chinese, it can speak English, it can speak German, anything. What you put into it, it will process it and it'll bring it out. Your brain is greater than that. Get those electrons moving at optimal velocity by changing the attitudes in your mind. And your will and your emotions. And the God that is inside you will arise. Arise and shine. For thy light is come. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that is inside your word. That indeed we have the ability of the mind of Christ, which is greater than the wisdom of Solomon. Oh God, thank you for writing these things for us, for our learning, so that we can appropriate and fulfill the fullness of our divine destiny. God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of you that showeth mercy. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to develop more meekness and lowliness of heart. So I will have more grace, greater measures of life and light that will affect my mind so that, Lord, I will experience and appropriate the ability of the mind of Christ, and in this lifetime manifest a wisdom that is greater than the wisdom of Solomon. And I will use it for your glory. I'll use it for your good.
the blessing of humanity to take this gospel of the kingdom to every tribe, tongue, and kindred. I covenant with you. I covenant with you. I covenant with you that if you do this for me, as you do this for me, I will not be like Solomon. I will not waste. I will not waste. I will not waste these resources on the lusts of the flesh. But rather, I will use it to your glory. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Sala Pragaka. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your power. Into our souls, into our bodies, into our circumstances, into our regional heavenlies. Rico Frede Longrodolomosh Libri Dufre Lombri de Kosk Lambrodolos Dufridia No Fredengara Noka Nea Tuske Free Lombri Getoloma Father Laprika Loka Tuske Free Lombrodufke in Jesus' name. Before we say the grace and go, I'm going to tell you two things. You see, these tongues I pray, you don't know what you're doing. The power in it. The limitations of this thing because of sin. God has given you, in electricity, we call it a shunt to bypass it. So you can directly access the mind of God. It's not just religion. You can access, you have direct access to the divine mind. The more you pray in tongues, the more those electrons in your brain, they begin to move with higher and higher speed. You begin to now move from your subconscious to your conscious mind. You begin to think like God. Begin to see things the way God sees them. I was sharing with some of the brethren. I didn't share with everybody. Maybe I'll share it, you know, because if I say this now, they will say I'm mad. You know, Pastor Lupi is teaching them mad things. You know, it's called the Fibonacci numbers. They found them in everything, even in the spirals of the galaxies. It's such a simple sequence, 1 + 1, then 2, then you add the next one and all of that. It's in all nature. Even in our DNA is the signature of the Creator. I'm here. For the invisible things of Him, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Everything is programmed. Everything. Everything. By the master mathematician himself. Give him a super clap offering. I want to inspire you, then to show you how serious he is about what he's doing. He takes natural Israel, the startup nation, natural Israel, because they are the biological seed of Abraham. He just showcases them. He doesn't give them everything. Just shows small Israel. Nobody understands Israel. The percentage of the number of Israelites on the earth is so tiny. But the percentage of all them who get Nobel Prize is so large. They have solved the water problem. Israel can get water from the air. They are masters in agriculture. They have turned the desert into a blossoming field. Israel is number one that exports fruit all over the world in the desert. God is saying, I just a small sample. If he will do that for natural Israel, what will he do for Zion, established upon better promises with a better covenant. This, I now move prophetic. I'm moving now because I just got an unction. I'm moving prophetic now. This is a solution of the Nigerian problem. It's going to turn Nigeria around. The salvation of Nigeria is from Zion. Oh, that the salvation of Israel come out of Zion. I've gone prophetic now. It's going to turn Nigeria around. What took Israel? America. It took America 200 years. It took England 500 years. Nigeria will do in 10. Amen. 10, 15 years. And people say, how come? They'll tell them the ability of the mind of Christ. Let's share the grace. It's time to go home. I've given you enough. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God of our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your verse, a greater than Solomon is in you. God bless you. Be here next week.